Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Circuits of Time, a home for the best in 80s movies. Grab your root beers and let's get rockin'.
Hello everyone and welcome to episode 2 of our podcast. This is your host JD.
And this is your host Jaff Dog.
Thanks for joining us all for this second episode. Just like last episode where we did Back to the Future, we're going to start this one off by playing you what we'd hope would be a familiar sound. See if you can guess what the film is. Pretty straightforward. J-Dog, what's the film we're going to be talking about today?
The film, of course, is Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure.
And it is excellent indeed. So, without further ado, Chris, why don't you start off, I suppose, by giving us a few brief facts about the film?
Okay, so a couple of brief facts about the film. It was released in 1989. It stars Keanu Reeves, Alex Winter, and George Carlin. It had a budget of $10 million. It grossed worldwide just over $40 million. On the IMDb, it has a rating of 6.9, and it's not in the top 250 films.
Shocking. Okay, J-Dog, why don't you, I suppose, start off by telling us a bit about what the Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure is all about.
Okay, so broadly, it's about two slackers on the west coast of America, in San Dimas. And they're loafing about in school, just as most teenagers tend to do. However, unbeknownst to them...
I told you you've never ever said that way before.
Unbeknownst to them, they, in the future, somehow, by some sort of mechanism, they are actually the saviours of the universe, and the world is a better place because of the music that these two wannabe rock stars make. So, a friend comes from the future to help them to pass their high school history assignment, which ordinarily would probably involve writing a piece about historical figures. They actually go back in time to fetch those historical figures, and we follow them along their adventures along the way.
Why though, Chris, would going back in time to get historical figures and passing this exam save them from this future Armageddon? Is that because something happens to one of the characters if they fail?
Because if they flunk this test, then Ted is going to be sent off to military school and the pair will be split up forever, which of course will have disastrous consequences for the future.
Great stuff. Okay, J-Dog, for our next segment, which is our Did You Know segment, I thought we'd prepare, just like we did for Back to the Future, just a few little things about Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure that maybe you didn't know, or anyone listening maybe didn't know, even people who are familiar with the film. So have you got any Did You Know factoids that you could fire away?
Yes. Did you know that the CGI in the background of the scene when the telephone box is flying through it's called the Circuits of Time, that is actually one of the first examples of CGI being used in films. And at that time, in the late 1980s, there were very, very few films using it, very sparingly. The only one that around that time I can think of is The Abyss by James Cameron, who then, of course, went on to use that technology further in Terminator 2, Judgment Day.
Mm-hmm. Nope, didn't know that at all. Did you know, J-Dog, that the film was set in 1988 for us viewers? But actually, when they filmed it, it was supposed to be set in 1987.
No, I didn't know that one.
If you look at there's a part of the film when they're both actually talking about the essay.
Oh, is this when they're outside the school and it looks like it's dubbed over?
It's dubbed. If you look closely enough, you can actually see that he's actually saying 87.
Oh, okay.
It's dubbed to say 88.
Oh, that's why it might explain it. Do you know, I always thought that it was one of those outdoor scenes. And, you know, when they have interference in the background, they have to re-record the sound and then dub it over. Sometimes that'll be why then.
Did you have any other factoids, J-Dog?
Yes, I did. Did you know that the supposed medieval English castle that Bill and Ted go back to rescue the princesses is actually not filmed anywhere near England at all? It was actually recorded in a castle in Rome.
Oh, right.
That's correct, yes.
Brilliant. Did you know that... Keanu Reeves actually auditioned for the role of Bill, and Alex Winter actually auditioned for the role of Ted.
No, I didn't know that.
Yeah, yeah. So I don't know what happened or whether they just switched them at a later time, but yeah, no, that was news to me up until 1 hour ago.
Yeah. Okay, well, did you know then that it was originally titled Bill and Ted's Time Van?
Time Van.
And they went back in time in a vehicle, and they went to, believe it or not, Nazi Germany.
Brilliant.
Where they interfered with Adolf Hitler. I don't mean okay, alright, so they
no, listen, we don't have to edit that one out. If you want to say interfered with Adolf Hitler, I'm sure everyone would understand.
Okay, so the plot line was quite different to what it is now. First of all, they thought that it closely resembled a similar sort of time travel film that had just come out a couple of years ago, which involved a vehicle going back in time.
No, I can't think.
Okay, alright.
Would that have distracted you from its excellence?
You know, any film content can be made well, can be made poorly. It does sound quite daft to me, to be honest. I don't know whether it's...
So, right up your street.
Yeah, yeah.
So. last one from my Did You Know, J-Dog. That the voice actors for the animated series, do you remember the animated series?
I do, yes. I remember the theme tune very well.
Do you? Do you want to belt out a few lines?
Okay, well, I haven't really warmed up, but it went something like, Bill and Ted's Most Excellent Adventures.
Brilliant. Absolutely great. Okay, so the reason why I brought that up is the voice actors for the animated series was, in fact, Keanu Reeves, Alex Winter, and George Carlin. They did it for the animated series. So.
You know, ordinarily on these animated series that you'd get, wouldn't be the people who'd actually be in the film. So I'm thinking of the, you know, real Ghostbusters, Back to the Future, the cartoon,
yes,
series. You know, it wasn't the original actors. It was.
Can you think of any others? If you're going to reel off a list, that, yeah, I always say you need three, otherwise, you know, it's a waste of everyone's time.
Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, but then I couldn't name one of the actors from the actual film, then, so.
Oh, no, great stuff. Well, J-Dog, what I thought would be interesting is, given that you've seen this film how many times?
Not as many as Back to the Future, but certainly a couple of dozen times.
So you are familiar with the story, all the actors and all the rest of it?
I am. I think so.
Okay, are you ready for a couple of quick-fire questions?
Yes.
Okay, according to Ted, who had wooden teeth and chased Moby Dick?
George Washington?
Yeah, spot on. Any for me?
Yeah. What is the name of the heavy metal song that plays in the mall prior to the main character's arrest?
Dangerous?
No, but that is on the soundtrack. Huh?
Go on, what is it?
It's actually the song Play With Me by Extreme, who had a big hit in the 90s with More Than Words, which you hear on the love song radio stations from time to time. Great band, though.
No, can't. Do you want to sing that one as well? No, I'm joking. Okay. Do you know the name of the water park that they go to toward the end of the film?
Yes. It's called Waterloo.
It's that X-rated version with the guy.
Yeah. Well, I thought that was a pun on the fact that it's Waterloo and it's got Napoleon in it. But I'll tell you a fact actually based on that. The scenes of the slides and people going about on the slides were filmed in a different water park than the ones that the actual actors were at. So they were in two separate places, which probably for some sort of filming reason must have made sense.
Well, maybe you're right and I'm wrong, but when I researched it, it was Waterloo, home of the excellent water slides.
Oh, okay.
So, well, I don't know. At the end of the day, it sounds about right. Did you know, J-Dog, what the name of the phone book was that they had with them?
Oh. Well, it's not going to be the BT directory, is it? Let's face it. I don't know.
It was the Circuit of Time.
Ah, okay.
Yeah. Any other questions before we move on?
Yeah. When Ed Solomon and Chris Matheson were writing the film, they had an idea of a rock star playing the part of Rufus. So think about the band that gets mentioned quite a lot in the film. And perhaps have a think as to who might have played that part of Rufus. Three words in his name.
Van Halen.
Eddie Van Halen.
Yeah.
Turns out that they didn't have the budget for him.
Ah, right.
But they did consider some other rock stars as well, actually. They also considered Ringo Starr.
Fantastic.
Roger Daltrey from The Who. And a couple of actors as well. Sean Connery and Charlie Sheen. But if they didn't have the budget for Eddie Van Halen, who wasn't even in films, how on earth are they going to have the budget for someone like Sean Connery? And Charlie Sheen was, you know, obviously got the reputation nowadays for being quite out there, but in the 80s he was quite up and coming. It was before Hot Shots, but it was definitely after Platoon, where he was recognised as a real, you know, star in the making. Mm-hmm.
No, didn't know that at all. It's funny because obviously you see George Carlin now, who in hindsight you think who else could have played that role.
I know, he was brilliant in it, wasn't he?
He was indeed. Yeah,
that's one person who's definitely going to be sorely missed from the new one that's coming out soon. There's some big shoes to fill.
So we don't anticipate somehow them incorporating George Carlin into the movie. See, you know what it's like now. You've seen the new Star Wars film where they brought back Princess Leia and who was it that played one of the admirals?
Peter Cushing.
So these people now, you know, even passing on doesn't always stop you from appearing in film. So I mean, I think it would be something that they could do. It could just be a voiceover. Would you be offended if they tried to bring him back in any other form?
I wouldn't necessarily be offended, but there's a part of me that just thinks,
how can you recapture it?
Yeah, and also, you know, if you think about Princess Leia and Peter Cushing, to an extent, they used footage from the film. Well, certainly in the case of Carrie Fisher, they used footage that hadn't been used already. And with Peter Cushing, they took some old footage. Would they really?
So they could do something similar with George Carlin.
True, but
have a few reels of old footage.
But those scenes were short. You know, you're talking about Rufus was quite a main character in the film. How would they do that? And why as well? You know, the original was such a low budget hit. Why would they want to go to that extent with this one? You know, you've seen what happens when they take an old film from the 80s that everyone loves and absolutely trashes it. You end up with the Ghostbusters. And I don't want the Ghostbusters for the new Bill and Ted film whatsoever.
What's up with the Ghostbusters?
What's up with the Ghostbusters? Okay, well, that needs its own separate series. Never mind, podcast.
Apologies to any Ghostbusters fans out there. You are talking about the all-female reboot.
Yeah, and that's another thing now. So when you talk about Ghostbusters, you can't just say Ghostbusters. You have to say the new Ghostbusters.
We did at one point used to say the real Ghostbusters.
Oh, yeah.
For another episode, maybe. So just going back to the film itself, I mean, you say you've watched it a couple of dozen times and things. Do you love it now as much as you did when you first watched it?
I do. It's one of those films that when it pops up, and it's usually on a Saturday afternoon, so like Back to the Future as well. So on a Saturday afternoon, it'll usually be on ITV, and it'll if it's on, I'll watch it. And even though I've got it on DVD, I'll sit there through the adverts and I'll watch it still, because it's just a brilliant film.
And even if the film's already been on 20, 30 minutes, you can turn that on and just sit and watch it and enjoy.
Definitely. And I always wait and see whether they put the full version on, which is the one where when Napoleon slides down the bowling alley, he jumps up and he starts shouting in French, shit. But they cut that bit out whenever it's on a daytime on ITV.
Well, couldn't they have just changed the subtitles?
Just turn the subtitles
down,
off.
Down. who was you? Did you ever, other than the obvious George Carlin and Bill and Ted themselves, what about some of the other characters, Chris? Did you like anyone in particular in the film?
Yeah, I was a big fan of Socrates, even though he didn't actually say much at all. You know, it was just the actions and the...
Of course, he wasn't actually called Socrates in the film.
Socrates.
Socrates,
yeah,
indeed.
Yeah. The man who played Socrates, or Socrates, he was an English actor, and he was in another film where he played a waiter.
Scrooge,
that was it. Yeah.
And no, he was brilliant. I think I'd agree with you. There was something about his character, and you couldn't help but laugh.
Dust.
Of course.
Wind. I was like, dude.
J-Dog, any favourite scenes, anything that you'd always like look back and think that this is the best bit of the film, or any you're fond of?
I loved the scene in the mall, and especially because of that song in the background. You know, that was probably one of the earliest heavy metal songs that I ever heard. And that cool sound, the guitar and the montage, just the way they're all running around the mall, and you know,
Joan of Arc's doing the aerobics.
Beethoven's playing on a piano, gets kicked out of a synthesizer, he gets kicked out of the shop. Genghis Khan's in the sporting goods store and he's whacking a head off a mannequin with a baseball bat. Billy the Kid's running around, Abraham Lincoln, so great to running around as well. They get met at the top of the escalator, don't they, by the security guards waiting for them.
Guy who plays Genghis Khan, it's got to be one of the most typecast guys in movie history.
He must have made a fortune.
In every film he's in, he's holding some sort of machete or blade.
Yeah, he must have made a fortune from just little bit parts in the 1980s. His name was Al Leong.
Was he in Big Trouble in Little China?
I believe he was, yeah.
I'm sure he was, yeah.
JD, are there any scenes that you really like that stand out?
Do you know what, JD? It's like, I can't pinpoint a scene. For me, it's just like one of those films. It's just perfectly paced. It's fun all the way along. It's just irresistible junk food. You can just can't help but just sit there and smile as you're watching it. But, you know, I always like think when I'm watching it back, the actual use of time travel. You've seen them bits towards the end of the film when they're in the jail, and obviously I think they say something about remember the dustbin, or yeah, remember to leave the keys. I mean, I actually sometimes think, how does that work? And without obviously thinking too much about it, but what is that? What are they actually doing there?
Okay,
with the time travel?
So right, well, this is where the film's got a little bit of an integrity
problem,
inconsistency, shall we say? Okay, so there are two thought processes, aren't there, really, in films with time travel. There's one way you can just play about with time and change wherever you want, and we see that in Back to the Future. So, for example...
But it will have an outcome in the present.
That's
Or it will create a new present.
So, for example, in Back to the Future, the first time we see the Twin Pines Mall, it's the Twin Pines Mall. The second time we see it's the Lone Pine Mall.
Why is it the Lone Pines Mall?
Because the farmer shoots the tree as Marty drives away, so there's now just one fire there. Very cleverly thought out. But that idea of time travel works on the idea that you can change something. So anything can be changed, and you'll see that visible change. The other idea of time travel is that things, if at some point in the future it's going to be changed, then it'll have changed in the first place. So the example there would be, if at some point in the future, no matter what, someone's going to go back and change that, surely it would always have been the Lone Pine Mall, because that event would have happened to actually change.
So are we saying that Back to the Future was wrong with that?
No, I mean, you've got to choose one, really, and you see this in films, you have to choose something. So here's where it's inconsistent.
So what's going on then with the
right
in Bill and Ted?
So what they're saying is...
Just in case anyone hasn't or can't think of the scene, just remind everyone what happens with the dustbin.
They're escaping from... Bill, Ted and all the people from the future, from the past, are escaping from the prison where they've been locked, the jail where they've been locked up. And just as they're about to leave... Is it Ted's dad who stood there before me saying, you know, what's going on, blah, 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 because he's a police officer. And he thinks to himself and says out loud, remember the bin or remember the trash can or something like that. And then all of a sudden a trash can bin, whatever you want to call it, drops down on him and you get the comical stuck in a bin type of...
No, forgive me, but the implication of that is that if he was to use the time machine again, the phone box again, he would have to have a bin ready at the point of... that moment.
Well, what he's,
an alternative tent.
What he's saying is, I need to go back and get it ready there.
Okay.
So this is where the inconsistency with the film is. So the inconsistency is, what this film's saying is that at some point in the future, he's going to go back and put that there. And the same with the key as well. There's another scene of putting a key in the right place. And a tape recorder too, where they play the voices. So at some point in the future, they're all going to go back and do it. Therefore, these things happen no matter what. So that's what happens in the scene. That's how the scene plays out. Here's where it becomes inconsistent. The most important people say to Rufus, if you don't go back and help him, or if the report's no good, then Bill and Ted will be broken up and there won't be peace on Earth. But we've seen peace on Earth and we've seen that's happened. So therefore, it's set in stone, isn't it?
Are we saying that because George Carlin has come from a place where the wild stallions were popular?
Yeah. So therefore it was bound to happen. So that's what I'm saying. The film needs to be a bit more consistent with this message, kind of thing.
I suppose the best thing you can say about Bill and Ted is that it doesn't really care.
No, let's face it.
Neither do you when you're watching
it. Well, I'm sat here, you know, explaining all this or trying to explain it best that I can. But it's a piece of entertainment. You know, it's how many films are there where you watch the film and you think that could never happen? Well, no. There's this whole thing of suspension of disbelief, isn't there? Of course, you sat there on the couch watching a film. A film takes you to a different place. You go to the cinema, you're taken away to a different place. That's part of the magic of films, isn't it? But, obviously, we sit there and think about these things. Maybe that's the problem when you watch a film dozens of times. You start thinking about other stuff.
You know, you were asking me before about do I have, like, you know, favourite scenes or favourite moments, and I said no originally, but I actually do like the end when they're all the students are standing up at the end giving their presentation, and there's this one jock, there's a jock, and clearly he's not the sharpest guy in the classroom, and I can't remember what exact speech was. Chris, do you remember exactly what he says?
San Dimas High School football rules! that's a sum total of his work at that school,
and the whole school's on the feet.
Yeah, but you know, just a bit in the auditorium, that's really reminded me of something that we used to joke about years ago. When you see the actors, the historical figures doing their bits, so Napoleon's got a map out and he's showing Ted, you know, how to have the strategy
work.
Yeah, all that sorts of stuff. Joan of Arc's doing the sword fighting. There's a song playing in the background, and there's this one kid who's got a spoon in his hand, and he's dancing with
the spoon. I know exactly what you mean.
So first, why has he got ice cream, and why is he doing this daft little dance? I think he's wearing sunglasses as well indoors, you know.
Can
you
hear the same music that we do? I know exactly what you mean. And of course, come the end of the film, Bill and Ted obviously passed their history exam, spoiler alert. And of course, wild stallions can reign supreme and save, is it the universe or is it just mankind? I thought it was just mankind.
Could be mankind, could be the universe. Either way, this is important stuff to the people of the future.
Of course.
Yeah. And the very last scene, though, you see them with the... they're still back in the garage and still, you know, just playing away, playing the songs and this, that and the other. And I think they're a little bit down at the end. And then Rufus appears, doesn't he, with the princesses, and they all sort of, like, you know, draped themselves over their arms, and Bill and Ted got big smiles on their faces,
but suddenly know how to act as an 80s girl.
Yeah, and then because they're like these typical 80s, you know, like fluorescent colours and stuff, and then from the time machine, Rufus produces these two I think they're called Steinbeck or Steinbach guitars. They're distinctive because they don't have a head on them. They just have the end of the guitar, so they look like something from the future. And and now, obviously, they're so, like, out of date, so 80s in a way. Rufus starts playing the guitar, which it then cuts to a mid-level shot of these hands, which are absolutely nothing like George Carlin playing this mad solo, you know, and he plays this.
So, hang on, you're telling me that George Carlin did not play
No, he didn't learn how to play the guitar for that, unfortunately.
Okay, J-Dog, in terms of, you know, Bill and Ted's legacy, it's 2020. I know it's not Back to the Future, but how is it seen today? Do people know this film? Do the kids that grow up now know of Bill and Ted?
I don't think they know it as much as we knew it when we were kids, and they certainly don't know it as much as Back to the Future. You know, the kids who I speak to, they know a little bit about Back to the Future, but not so much Bill and Ted. Which is a shame, you know, because it's such a fun, you know what, it's a family film, it really is. I know there's a few bits in it where you think, okay, by today's standards it's a little bit risque in parts, you know, but so many family films were from the 80s. Look at The Burbs, for example, you know, that's a family film, but there's so many dark parts to it, isn't there? There's loads of films like that from that time period. Back to the Future as well, you can talk about some of the content of that. You think, is that family friendly? Maybe not in today's day and age, but...
As in, he's a peeping Tom.
yeah, bits like that, for example. It's just all the different characters, the different times.
It makes it all the more surprising, though, that they're actually making a number three. Because usually, when films like that, a sequel comes out, they usually do so on the basis of, this is going to make money. But Bill and Ted 3, they can't guarantee that that's going to be a money maker. They're relying on a bit of nostalgia, a bit of Keanu Reeves love, You know, I mean, I don't even know if people were aware that there is a Bill and Ted 3, but you would have thought, had they made the sequel, it would have been a money decision, but I don't know about this one.
Well, a lot more people are going to be familiar with it come the year, 18 months down the line. You'll get a lot of people who will claim to have been the biggest fans of the film, you know, since year dot, when the reality is many will just see the new one and then go back to watching the old one. They might get a bit of a shock because it's quite low budget and old and stuff like that, but...
It never spoils our enjoyment.
Yeah, yeah, the story's good. I mean, I'm not a massive fan of the second film, but I love the first one.
Yeah. Are you aware of, you know, what's going on with Bill and Ted 3? Do you know what it's called?
It's called... something Time?
No, I think it's Bill and Ted Face the Music.
Face the Music.
And actually, it goes a bit into the story of number one, because Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure is, of course, about Rufus coming back in time to make sure that they stay together so that their music, the Wild Stallions' music, can, of course, save mankind. But Bill and Ted 3 is based on the story of... it still hasn't happened. Bill and Ted are nearing 50, or they may have even surpassed 50, I don't know. But so far, the Wild Stallions, or at least their music, still hasn't come to the fore. So I don't know too much else, but, you know, you see, you want to look forward to it, but at the same time, you don't want it to spoil what came before. And maybe it won't, in the sense that, well, we've already had Bogus Journey. If it can survive Bogus Journey, it can probably survive anything.
Oh, yeah, yeah. You know, it sounds like an interesting prospect as well, because Alex Winter and Keanu Reeves have aged. I mean, our old Keanu Reeves looks probably about the same age as what he did back then. But they have got older, and the passage of time, and yet, you know, there's a lot in the film about them meant to be being these big legends in the first one. But the fact that that hasn't happened yet all these years down the line, that's a really nice starting point for a story, isn't it? You know, it's not like they've waited 2 years and then made another one. They've waited decades. So it fits in nicely in terms of where they're at and with their age and things like that. So, you know, that reminds me a little bit of Ghostbusters. So Ghostbusters 2 came out. And at the start, Ghostbusters 2, they were washed up a little bit. But that film was only made like 5 years later or something like that.
Dan Aykroyd was going to family parties, wasn't he?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, you know, that was like that would have been a much funnier joke had it been 20, 25 years down the line, that sort of thing. You know, because you'd wonder what had happened in the meantime. They all look a little bit old, a little bit out of shape, that sort of thing. But the second Ghostbusters film was a little bit less to be desired, really. Oh, maybe we'll do the first one at some point in the future.
Sounds good to me. I mean, to be
fair. Or in the past.
Yeah. I love Ghostbusters too, but, you know, we could discuss that another time. So, just on a final note, Chris, I know we have our tier ranking. I don't think we've fully settled on what tiers they are. I think we put Back to the Future as our God tier.
That's right.
I don't know what tiers there are under belief, but I don't think you're going to put Bill and Ted alongside Back to the Future, are you?
No.
A rung below, or maybe a few more?
One. Just one rung below. Yeah, yeah. I put it on the top tier.
High praise indeed.
So it'd still be up there, but there's just something about it that just doesn't get there for me. Maybe I'm being a little bit biased with Back to the Future because I'm thinking about the second one as well sometimes, and the whole trilogy, whereas with Bill and Ted, the second one I just wasn't really too fond of, really. But the first one's, it's great, but I don't know, there's just something about it that I just can't put it up there. I just can't put it up there, Back to the Future.
So, Rung 2. Yeah. We're going for Rung 2.
Yeah.
Oh, well, I suppose it's the penultimate Rung, because Rung 2 would be quite low on the ladder.
Of course.
So, yeah, listen. Okay, well, thanks, everyone. That was the end of our second episode of Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure. A little preview for episode 3. J-Dog, I don't know if you want to throw a few quotes out there, see if any of our listeners, if there are any, recognise the film that we will be reviewing.
Can you fly, Bobby?
Any others?
Serve the public trust.
And last one?
Protect the innocent.
Isn't there a famous one that people have on the t-shirts? There's like a quote about dollars or something like that. Well,
I'll buy that for a dollar.
No, that would have been the one I would have got. So if you haven't got it from that, the next episode we will be discussing is J-Dog.
RoboCop.
Thanks for joining us, and we will see you again.
Thank you.
See you next time, nerds.